Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Brian here.
Kimberly here.
And Kevin.
Wanted to let you know to stay after the episode to hear our Broadway.com Audience Choice Awards, our picks at the end of this episode. Also, don't forget, follow us at Broadwasted on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Rate and review us on iTunes and subscribe. 5 stars, please.
And now, another round.
Pour me another round.
Hello and welcome to another round with Broadwasted, where we're pre-gaming for the weekend. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky.
And my fellow Broadwastians, 4 whiskeys and 7 beers ago, when gin the course of boozy events, I have a spiked egg cream. We, the rum-soaked people, in order to form a more perfect onion pearl Gibson, ask not what your local brewery can do for you, but what you can do for your local brewery. All we have to cheers is cheers itself, so give me whiskey or give me death. But as we all know, old hangovers never die, they just fade away. Today we consider ourselves the drunkiest people in the bar, and joining us for that today are the usual General Washingtons who are going to teach gin how to say good rye.
Good rye? I hate you so much.
Wetting their whistle today is Kevin, finest Marguerite Towers Jager.
Yes, Marguerite Towers!
No, I didn't. That was a lot easier, yeah.
I appreciate it.
I know. Kimberly, our game master and unofficial babysitter of the hour.
And gin and tonic extraordinaire.
Yeah. And with us and with us today are the crew, cast, as well as the creative team behind the Imbibe at New World Stages. Let's give a big Broadwasted welcome to Friends of the Show.
Friends of the Show.
The cast, crew, and creative team of the Imbibe. Welcome, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course.
God, best intro speech ever.
Things I Google today, famous speeches.
Well done. It worked out for you.
But as I'd love to go around the table, and I'd love for you to say who you are, how you're involved with the Imbibe, and what your social media handles are, and what your favorite drink is.
That's a good one.
That's a lot of things, but I think you can do it.
I'll start. Okay, my name is Anthony Caparelli. I am the creator and producer of The Imbibe. You can get me on Twitter at DrinkArt, DrinkArt, and obviously at The_Imbibe, IMBIBLE.
Hi, I'm Kate Hoover. I am the alto in the show. And my favorite drink is any kind of whiskey, scotch. I mean, I'm drinking a Jameson right now, so we'll say Jameson. My Instagram account is at Kate Hoover, which is like Hoover, only with an A on the end. So original.
Hello, I'm Alec Lee. I play the bass in the Imbibe. And my Twitter and Instagram handle is at AlecLeeNYC. My favorite drinks, in the colder months, I go towards the old fashions of the world. And as soon as the sun comes out, a spicy margarita will get me going.
Yeah.
Good call.
I'm Kim Garner, the stage manager of The Imbibe. All of my social media handles are at Spark in the Night, which is a Green Day reference.
Yes, it is.
Savvy.
Oh, I got that.
You're awesome. It's been that way since I was about 13.
Cool. What was your AIM screen name?
What's her name with 3 E's at the end? You're another Green Day reference, right? And my MySpace URL was Starry Nights_City Lights, just to throw it in your face. Anyway,
how many times did you see American Idiot?
Only once, actually.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't even with Billy Joe, so I failed. It's okay. I did just see them recently, like a month ago, so we're good. But my favorite drink is sour beers, which I happen to be drinking right now.
Awesome. Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
It is a Tartastic sour beer. First time drinking it. Amazing.
That was incredible. So many great
games. I don't really want to follow that. Hi, I'm Nicole DiMattei. I'm the co-producer, director, and the soprano in The Imbible. Yes! I favor Anthony's gin and tonic. Honestly, it is my favorite. It is my favorite. I am not good at the social media. I promise you I am on there, and if you, like, Google Nicole DiMattei, something will come up. I was literally just telling Anthony that I couldn't look at your guys' page because I don't remember my password. So,
you have a website.
Okay, I know
winning.
Hashtag winning.
We got the hashtag thing down.
Yay. Brian, do you have a favorite drink?
My go-to drink is usually a whiskey ginger ale, but old fashions are my favorite.
Yeah. Okay. Kevin, do you have a favorite drink?
Margarita, all the way.
Yeah.
I'm from Florida. We live on the beach, so we just drink margaritas all day long.
Is it just like a regular margarita, or is like a flavored one that you like the best?
I like the avocado margarita from Mexico.
I mean,
you
can get fancy flavors in it, but as long as like there's some good tequila, it's on the rocks. Throws in its bun for like those fun days, but like on the rocks. Ton of salt.
For
like,
those
just
not
all
right.
The salt.
Yeah,
so
I like
how
it.
How to go.
I like blood orange.
And I like gin
blood
too.
Orange. Blood orange is good.
Yeah.
As I say, which I realize is a weird thing to say, I grew up on gin and tonics. Like, yeah, hey,
well, it's just because it is my mom's favorite drink.
Well, I bartended her Christmas party when I was 15.
So, just to show you the difference between our moms, my mom's favorite drink was a Kahlua mudslide, and in fourth grade, she taught me and my friends how to make them so that we could make them for her parties, her cooking and craft night.
The very first time I ever got drunk, I basically mixed every kind of liquor in my parents' cabinet. And
is that how we all did that?
Right, like, I'm assuming, you just kind of were like, oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, make a good sauce.
Apple. And pucker.
Have one, and it was me, my like, best friend at the time, and we were like, we're not feeling anything, let's make another. And he wanted to mix it with something, and so he looked in our fridge, and I saw some milk in my fridge. And
no.
You were like, yeah, that's good.
We were already drunk at this point, but like...
Did you accidentally make a cement mixer?
I only remember, like, we added the milk in, and it immediately curdled, and I looked at it and looked at my friend and went, does this look curdled? And she goes, maybe. And I take a sip, I'm like, it's fine. And we just kept drinking the milk. And then the next day, my mother punished us because she, of course, knew we had been drinking and came in at like 7 a.m. was like, get up, I'm taking you to get mani-pedis. And so, like, right in the early morning, we had to go and, like, sit in these chairs while, like, women were jailed. And we were drunk over as
Drunk over.
It's my special Kate-ism.
Did you say your mother punished you by getting you mani-pedis?
Have you ever had a mani-pedi hungover? Punishment.
Have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon? Just for good measure, even though we did it already. What are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a cider. It's a red cider, whatever that means.
It's a down east cider.
I'm drinking old fashioned. Let's go around the table. What are you drinking?
UFO Huckleberry beer.
Oh.
I'm drinking Jameson.
I'm also drinking Jameson because Kate is a good influence.
I want that on the record.
So I have that Tartastic sour beer. I'm drinking a Coney Island Mermaid Pilsner.
What I'd like to start with is... So going in...
Wait, we haven't started yet?
No.
Okay.
Hello and welcome... No.
Halo?
The video game? No. So basically, we went in having no idea what this was. Kevin and I basically thought that it was like a funny take on the Ten Commandments but with alcohol. We went in and we got something that was part history, part acapella, part... Just, you know, interactive. People watching for sure. So I'd love to hear you guys explain what your show is to our listeners so that we can kind of talk about what we saw tonight.
I always explain the show. I want to hear the cast explain
I've
the show.
I've explained it many times.
Yeah, I think Kim has seen the show more than anyone in the world. Yeah. Kim is our stage manager. She's been with us from literally day one. She watched the show every single night. Explain the Bible. You up for this?
So, yeah, no, and I tell people all the time that it's not a normal show. I'm like, you're not going to like a normal theater experience. It's science, it's history, it's a cappella, barbershop quartet, and it's all just like a really interactive, different experience you're going into. So it's like basically what you said, all a culmination of those
things.
Right. You did good at it.
I had a couple friends that came and saw it like way back when it was still at the Soho Playhouse, and my one friend described it as a love letter to booze, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Like, basically, yeah, it just takes you throughout the whole history of, like, when we first discovered we could drink alcohol, through its influence in our culture, and throughout, like, just humanity's culture and history, how we learned to distill it. But it's all told through, like, pantomiming. And,
Yeah. Well, I was saying earlier that I'm a big history nut, and a nerd for that stuff. So it's, you know, I know all the high-level history and, like, the basic history of the world. However, it was nice to see a portion of that, kind of the undertones of that, like, you know, the East India Trading Company with the gin, you know, like those.
You can't really learn that in high school.
No.
Yeah.
That wasn't in my social studies book or my medieval European history book.
And that's how they discovered the gin and tonic, don't drink.
Yeah. Yeah, like, don't do drugs, kids. However.
It's important to history.
You know, I always describe it to people as like a musical comedy TED Talk. Like, I sort of give people an idea.
That's really good.
Because, you know, people, you know, TED Talks sort of, you know, focus
like
on a specific
topic
that people don't necessarily hear in depth about, but it's intriguing and engaging, and then we also add the music and the humor. And
the drinking.
And the drinking, obviously, but, like, I always have trouble describing it because it is a very unique, like, theatrical experience, but I think that helps people understand it, at least, you know, in a way.
I'd love to hear where this idea came from, how you all got involved. Because it's so unique, it's something that you can only really find in New York, it feels like. Well, we have some food coming.
Yes, thank you.
So, this actually started, I've been...
I'd also love to hear a little bit about your background, because I know you're in the hospitality industry as well.
Yeah, right. So, I actually started a web series, a video podcast called Art of the Drink, which was the very first... video web series on cocktails and spirits. We actually launched 5 months after YouTube opened to the public. So it was literally like we were the very first web video series, and so it got some traction early on because there was nothing else like it. And from that, I was able to start working with some of the liquor brands and doing teaching and seminars for them, and started working at the Institute of Culinary Education here in New York. I'm currently the Director of Beverage Studies. Long story short is my job at one point was to go around the country and give lectures on the science and history of alcohol. But I also was always running theater companies. I've been in theater since I was 8 years old, and Nicole and I were running a company called Broadway Theater Studio, and we would always incorporate elements of theater into these seminars because they're usually kind of dry. When you go in, you talk about, like, you like what I did there? Yeah. And to kind of, and to juice them up a little, they always serve alcohol. So whenever you go to a seminar that's hosted by, like, Bacardi, you get 3 Bacardi drinks.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Yeah, it's great. So we would then add, like, comedy and skits and costumes and things like that. So at the end of a seminar that was called The Science of Mixology, where I'm literally, like, putting thermocouples into martini glasses to see if chilling them makes the drink colder, someone comes up to me and says, you know, this is New York, as you just said. If you just, like, ran this downtown, people would come see it.
Yeah.
And 5 years later, I finally ended up writing this show, which basically was a culmination of a lot of the lectures and seminars that I'd been giving, mixed with theatrical elements, kind of tied together with an overarching sort of theme. And we entered it in the New York Fringe Festival in 2014, and it's been running ever since. So that's kind of how it happened. It was a culmination of a lot of things that I was doing at the time.
So it's like part industrial.
It's Sesame Street for adults with booze.
Yeah.
It's sketches and comedy and songs and facts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up on Sesame Street. That was my mother's name. Sesame Street.
You lived on Sesame Street?
I wish I did, dude. I wish I did. I love that.
Why don't you tell us how
Yeah, that would be amazing. So I think, you know, on a very, probably more than subconscious level, that to me is how you learn.
Cool. Now, was that part of your audition? Like, did you have to, like, drink to show how well you
chug up?
We actually, we don't ask to drink, but we do ask for service experience.
Oh, okay.
So service industry, bartending.
That does make sense.
And really, actors in New York is probably really hard to find.
I know.
But I mean, you see these guys, they're actually serving drinks in glasses on trays. Walking around and singing and you know, making sure that the glass, it's amazing. What this cast does amazes me every night.
It's giving me popcorn when I need it.
So, popcorn was perfectly salted.
Yes,
so good, right?
Yeah, it's really good popcorn.
We destroyed it before the show started.
No, you two destroyed it before the show started.
It'd be my favorite food. I hold no bars.
In the show, you talk about what a bartender versus a mixologist is. I'd love for you to share that with the audience, and then I'd love to hear your best bartender joke.
Yes.
As I say in the show, I mentioned that I teach bartending and mixology and stuff, and I always tell my students it's very important that mixologists today are a breed of bartenders that are very much about the drink, they're about making drinks. Bartenders, old school bartenders, are more about serving the drink, and to me it's that transition, it's when the glass goes from my hands as the bartender to your hands as the guest. If that's not your primary concern, you're missing the boat. I don't care what's in the glass. I do, that's wrong. I do care what's in the glass. I'm gonna make you the best drink. The experience is when it crosses the bar. And old school bartenders get that, and our industry has gotten a little precious lately. And it's kind of very vogue to put on a lab coat and have a beard and like make a drink with your back to the guest and take 15 minutes and, you know, express the, you know, the skin of a walnut or whatever the hell they're doing back there. I don't even know, right? What is that? But the best bartenders that I work with still proudly call themselves bartenders and realize that, yes, people are coming to you for the liquid, but it's for the experience around the glass more than what's in the glass. So that to me is really, really important. And we have to, we've lost a little bit sight of that in the industry, and we need to get it back. We need to get it back quickly. I actually do seminars on storytelling in for bartenders.
Like, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Like, going to a bar is a social event. It is not like I'm going to sit alone and sip a fine whiskey. Like, you're going there to meet people.
Exactly.
Even if you're going alone, you're expected to have a conversation.
Yeah, I always say my measure of a good bartender, people are always like, what do you look for in a bartender? They always expect me to say, oh, you know, great recipes, technique. I always say, if I go to a bar alone at the beginning of the night, which is when I normally go sit at the bar, if by the end of the night I know everyone else sitting at the bar and it's because the bartender introduced me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
That's the best, that's what I look for.
Yep. So, what's your best bartender joke?
So, a neutron walks into a bar. Goes up, the bartender orders a drink, bartender makes it for him, the neutron looks at him and says, what do I owe you? Bartender looks back and goes, for you, there's no charge.
Anybody else got one?
So, my family has this joke they've been telling for years, and it's really more of an inside joke than anything else, but so the joke is, why are dinosaurs big, green, and scaly?
Why?
Because if they were small, round, and fuzzy, they'd be tennis balls.
Yeah.
So, nobody ever laughs at it except my family members. We're the only ones.
Good effort. Good effort.
Thank you.
Okay.
You have jokes.
A bar joke?
Yeah.
Sure. I have a bar joke.
Oh, go for it, Kevin.
Okay. So a man walks into a bar, and there's no one else in the bar except the bartender, and he hears this beautiful music. And he looks and he sees this tiny little man playing a tiny piano on top of his bar. And the guy's like, this is incredible. Where did this come from? He's like, oh, well, I have a genie and a lamp. And he's like, what? Let me see it. He's like, you can have it. I don't want it. So he gives the genie to the guy. The guy rubs the lamp. The genie comes out. And he's like, I can give you a wish. And he goes, great. I'll have $1,000,000. And all of a sudden, he's surrounded by 1,000,000 ducks. And he's like, what is happening? So he goes back to the bartender. And he's like, dude, what are you talking about? I got this genie, and he gave me 1,000,000 ducks. He's like, you think I wish for a 10-inch pianist?
Oh, that's good.
Mine is two peanuts walk into a bar. One was assaulted.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Your show is incredibly interactive. You guys are all right there with the audience. You're in the audience. You're around the audience. You're talking to the audience. You're sipping the audience drinks. I got to hear your best audience stories.
Oh, we all know it. Who wants to tell it? Nicole.
This one's spectacular. So when we were at Soho, the premium seats, which you saw tonight, are the bar seats.
Uh-huh.
They got champagne. They do get a fourth complimentary cocktail.
For $20 extra, you too can get a fourth complimentary drink at the Imbibal.
And sit at the bar. Anyway.
Nicole does a lot of her solos directly to you.
Yes.
I noticed that.
We, at Soho, they sat on the stage. So it was still in a bar, but the bar had a cabaret stage. And these five older women came in, ready for a night out.
Yeah.
Came drunk, okay?
Yeah. I'm already in. I love it.
There, Anthony, start the show. He's talking about yeast. One screams out, Kathy has a yeast infection right now!
What?
Yeah. And immediately we're all just shit.
No!
It's one of those nights.
Yeah. That's 30 seconds in!
That's 30 seconds into the show. It's the very first thing that I talk about.
Wait, did that escalate? Did they leave? Did you kick them out?
We tried to kick them out, and then they threatened to sue us.
Oh my god.
For what? I don't know, but we have a very distinct disclaimer. Disruptive or intoxicated guests may be refused alcohol service or asked to leave the theater.
It's like you pointed out, and the first thing you do.
And they were just yelling at you guys the whole time.
Yeah, they walked out cursing out the other customers.
The other patrons, They
really?
F-bombs. 65-year-old women.
My mom usually behaves. I'm really sorry.
Very quickly. At one point in the show, I sing to an audience member.
Yeah.
Tonight, he had independent eye movement.
Yes.
Which was crazy to me. But this one night, we were packed. Packed. And I saw this man. So I turned and I pointed this man. And now, as you see, I usually go to the man. This man was oh my gosh, this is my day to shine. He stands up and grabs a cane. He had dyed his hair, and he was actually about to turn 80. He told me. So he comes out through the audience, and not kidding you, the song was 7 minutes long? Because we did an entire dance. He was a performer on a cruise line. He told us all about it. And then he said, I said, what's your name? And he said, it's Bruce Storm. Can't you just see it in lights? And so at intermission, you saw our PowerPoint.
Yeah.
I changed our PowerPoint to say Bruce Storm. And it came up on all the TVs. Because you could see it in lights. So he could see it in lights.
That's incredible.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What's your favorite bar in New York City?
Daddy-O.
Oh,
I'm going to go ahead and start the conversation. I mean, I have so many. I love, obviously, the big ones, Employees Only, Dead Rabbit, Pegu Club, Death & Company, Amore Amargo. I love all these guys. Seamstress is going to kill me very much. But when the industry, folks in the industry have to just go out and get a drink, they head down to Daddy-O, man. It's just a cool bar. It's got a great whiskey selection, great cocktails, best tater tots in the city, and they cook food till 4 a.m. It's awesome.
Where is it?
It's down Bedford and I always forget.
Area.
Yeah, it's right off 7th.
West Village,
Bedford and Downing, right there. Bedford and Downing.
There.
There's a really nice whiskey bar that I just found up on the Upper West Side called Caledonia. And there's one on the east side too. They have two. But it's a really great, it's got American whiskey, Irish whiskey, Scotch whiskey. The bartenders are super nice and knowledgeable and will tell you all about the whiskeys and it's almost getting a whiskey history lesson when you go in there, which I love. But I just found that place and I've been there a couple times and it's really cool. So I guess that currently.
Maybe it's because it's right underneath my apartment, but it's called Weather Up in Prospect Heights, and it's really amazing. It's just a place that's very hipster, nondescript bar. It doesn't have a sign outside. You just have to know to go in there. It's I know. But it is really good, and they have an awesome outdoor area, which I like a lot. It's just really, really good. drinks that they like obviously take the time to make, and they just obviously are really into their craft. So yeah, weather up.
I mean, I personally like Ease Bar, which is next to Jacob's Pickles, which are both closed right now because of the fire. I live right there, and they have games, and I love games.
So I was just going to say that I like the two bars on 149th, right? 149th and Broadway. There are three bars all by the same owners. And the Honeywell just opened, and it is a 70s themed speakeasy.
Do you walk in and the bar's at your feet? Do you like sit down into it?
Oh, that's amazing.
You can get cocktail meatballs.
What?
And you can get a drink served in a lava lamp.
Wait, I'm like writing this down.
It's called Honeywell.
That sounds like something.
It's going to make an imbibable outing.
But next to it is At the Wallace, which has like giant Jenga and giant Connect 4 and all that stuff. And Buck Hunter. So basically you go to At the Wallace while you're waiting for your table at Honeywell to be ready. It's great.
Amazing.
Obviously I love Maurice Price's.
Of course.
But I also love the Highlands right there.
Yeah.
And then up near where I live, I really like
Fat Cat.
Oh, I love Fat Cat. I love the games and like the activities in the bar. Kevin, what's your favorite bar in the city?
I'm not good at that. Like I would say Blockheads because I love margaritas. And I love going to see a show in Euro Ages and then going to Blockheads. Or
that's
going to Blockheads. I wish we knew that. Show.
Or just going to Blockheads and forgetting you have to go see a show.
I, to me, like I love spring and summer from Florida. I don't understand this coldness you guys deal with. But like to me, when people are sitting outside of Blockheads again, like that's the beginning of spring.
I have an idea. Let's play a game.
I have a game.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So we play a game each episode of the Lights of Broadway show cards. I have a huge stack of them. And you use that person to inspire a cocktail.
Oh, wow, this is a hard game.
Wow.
Kevin, can you go first?
Sure. So I have Alan Cumming. All right, so for Alan Cumming, I would make the Willkommen vodka cocktail that is going to be a strong, there's not German vodka, is there?
Probably.
I'm sure there is.
So a German vodka of some kind, and it's mixed in with a dash of lime and
a dash of lime
and
technical term too.
A little bit of gin to make you like kind of cough but then get way drunk. So it's a vodka gin lime cocktail called the Vodka Willkommen. The Vodka Willkommen Vesper.
I have Angela Lansbury.
Yes, I love her.
And it's be called Merlot She Wrote.
Yes!
And she's just gonna drink Merlot while she writes her murder mysteries. And then she'll have, you know, she'll bring her Merlot with her when she's solving said mysteries. And then she'll come back home and write about those mysteries while drinking more Merlot.
I love it.
Yeah.
Merlot She Wrote.
This is Audra McDonald. Ooh. This is called the 4-5 Tony cocktail.
Six?
Dear God, this woman. But it's completely non-alcoholic because I feel like she's always pregnant. I feel like she should have. She was the witch and Into the Woods, right? Was she the witch?
Yeah, she was.
There should be something called like a witch's brew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Sour to pucker a lot.
Like beans and sour mix and cabbage and whatever else is in that song that she sings.
Parsley. Cabbage and celery.
Cabbage and celery.
Asparagus, yes, and watercress.
Maybe.
It's something you'd ship, on Sunday in the park.
Yeah, exactly. Everything you would just blend together in a big food processor and dump it in. That's your witch's brew.
I love it.
Spit out your vitamins.
It's served in a mini cauldron.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, Carol Burnett. This cocktail, call back to the Burnett's vodka that I had in junior year of high school.
Yeah.
And so
was that the plastic bottle?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Only plastic Burnett's vodka with just a splash of grenadine for that Carol Burnett red hair. And that's all you get, because you don't get more than just Burnett's vodka when you're in high school. That's all. That's it.
Benanti, oh my gosh. And like women on the verge of a nervous shakedown, and it's some kind of shaken drink. Yes.
That was so good.
I assume, yeah, it's some kind of crazy mix of just like the TARDIS like pineapple juice with Goldschlager. Yes. Because she would drink solid gold. Like, I would believe that with her vocal cords.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
Woman in the verge of a nervous shake.
Yeah. Does anyone do Rock Live?
Anthony has Christian Chenoweth.
No, I was gonna go Good Man.
There you go. Do it.
Alright, so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do a peanut old fashioned.
Whoa.
For the peanuts. How about that?
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Can I have that right now?
Yeah, so you're gonna take some sugar and water and boil them together with some peanuts so that it infuses you make simple syrup that tastes like peanuts, and then mix it with bourbon over the ice, and then two dashes of black walnut bitter. So it would be a peanut old fashioned. How's that?
That sounds actually amazing. Yeah. Please make that.
Should I do one?
Everything else we said was terrible.
I have Tommy Tune. And so this will be served in a highball glass.
Naturally.
Obviously. You're going to need to muddle everything together in a rhythmic fashion so that it sounds like the ice is tapping against the glass while you're behind there.
Tap, tap, tap it on the glass?
It is. Tap, tap, tap it on the glass. It's waving through the window. and then it's just going to be a spin on a Shirley Temple because it is him and his girl.
Oh!
What kind of a spin?
Fuete.
Thank you.
And it's just gonna have gin and a Shirley Temple because that sounds delightful to me.
Gin Shirley Temple?
Yeah, because I just sub vodka. I just sub gin for vodka anytime someone's like, it has vodka in it. I'm like, no, it
now
has gin in it.
I sub vodka for tequila in every drink. I like the Mexican meal more than a Moscow.
Yeah.
That actually brings us to the end of our episode.
We did it.
You guys did it.
We made it.
You're officially friends of the show now.
Yay!
So we wanted to thank you. Follow them on social media. Again, that's @_imbible. It's at New World Stages. You can get tickets on Telecharge and from their website.
And they're starting brunch.
Yeah, can you explain the new shows they have running?
Yeah, so there's actually, in addition to the main show, which is the Imbible Spirit and History of Drinking, which is in an open run at New World Stages, you can check out imbible.nyc. We are opening Memorial Day weekend our latest show, which is the fourth version of the Imbible. It's our brunch show, the Imbible Day Drinking. And it's the story of brunch and brunch drinks. Yeah. So you learn about the origin of a Bloody Mary, you learn about coffee and Irish coffees, you learn about champagne and Bellinis and all kinds of good stuff like that, and then we obviously serve them to you. And we're actually going to open that show with a Bloody Mary bar, so you get to make your own Bloody Mary with like all kinds of good stuff.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's a bridal shower!
Yeah, so that's going to be like, I think it's going to be like one of the coolest things to do for brunch in New York City. Saturdays and Sundays. In the summer, we're bringing back a show that we wrote a couple years ago called The Imbibable, Tiki Drinks and Pirates. It's the story of rum told by singing pirates. And the story of rum, for your listeners, you may be familiar, it's just fascinating. It's about the triangular trade and slavery and colonialism. And in the winter, we always run our holiday show, which is The Imbibable Christmas Carol Cocktails. It's a sequel to A Christmas Carol where Scrooge decides he wants to throw a Christmas party, but he has no idea how to make drinks because he's been Scrooge his whole life. So he calls all this the holiday spirits. See what we did there? He calls all the holiday spirits back, and they go out for another night, but this time they teach him about cocktails, past, present, and future. And we serve them to the audience. And this, for that show, we actually take the audience up on stage, and they get to make the drinks so that when they want to go home and have their own holiday parties, they know how to make the drinks for the holiday parties.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's super fun. It sells out, like, every year.
Well, again, go to imbibal.nyc to get tickets. At @the_imbibal, #thirstytheater with an R-E. We had an awesome time.
It's a show in a bar, so like, yeah. We obviously loved it.
But again, also follow us at Broadwasted on all social media. Head over to us on iTunes and subscribe. Join our mailing list on our website, broadwasted.com. But we end every episode with a quote. And today's episode is, let's have another, one more all around. What a lovely way to drown.
Right, sir?
Raisin.
Raisin?
The musical based on Raisin in the Sun.
They made a musical based on Raisin in the Sun.
Yeah,
Raisin.
It's called Raisin, and the song is called Booze. It's mid act one.
Thanks to learning the bar.
Yeah.
But let's raise our glasses, and as we end every episode, Zootuwop Bop. Cheers.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, we're also at Jasper's. Did I say that?
No.
We're at Jasper's on 51st and 9th, and their drinks are delicious. Jasper's.
Well, here, come on out.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. You thought that award season was already at capacity? Well, you thought wrong. Your favorite alcohol drinking, theater loving, podcasting fools, Brian, Kevin, and Kimberly, are back to discuss the Broadway.com Audience Choice Awards because, let's face it, they may be broad-wasted, but they're mostly audience members. Who are drunk? Not always. You know what I mean. And here they are. We're back, here to make our picks for the Broadway.com Audience Choice Awards.
Let's do this.
I'm Brian Plofsky. We have Kevin.
Hey, guys.
And Kimberly.
Hello.
And we're drinking some beer and wine.
Woo!
Totally.
Let's face it, the Tonys aren't everything. Am I right, guys?
No.
Not yet. Right. I'm sorry.
But there's a whole season of shows we've seen and that you've seen, so let's figure out who our personal winners are with the Broadway.com Audience Choice Awards.
Yeah.
What would you guys give out if you had to give out an award from your heart?
Ensemble. Best ensemble.
No. Like, what would you give them?
The ensemble?
Like a locket? Or a trophy?
Oh, what would their prize be? I see.
Or like a piece of gum?
A stick of gum? I would give them a hug.
I give them a homemade cookie.
Oh, that's much better than mine.
I know.
I would give them like a free nap card that they could use for their show to give to the company manager. And then they could just take a nap instead of doing the show.
That would disappoint a lot of people if one of your favorites won.
That's true, but then they would get a nap, so they'd be even better next time.
The nominees for the 22 categories were actually selected by fans who voted for all eligible candidates in a comprehensive Broadway.com survey. You can vote now on Broadway.com/awards through May 17th. But let's play a game and discuss.
Let's do it.
Kimberly, lead us.
Well, since again, these are the awards of our hearts, our own personal hearts, we'll decide these awards. Just, you know, in case you have somebody else's heart. I don't know how that works. I guess I have Jay's heart, and he has my heart.
I'm a tin man.
That was gross.
I have everyone's heart.
Look, sir, a heart. From the 12th night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, sir, droids.
We're going to try and guess where everyone in this room's heart lies. So when I name a category, I'll pick one of the three of us. We're going to count to three, and I'll guess who that person thinks will win that category.
Great.
Shall we start with favorite new musical?
Let's do it.
You know what? And this is going to be Kevin's heart.
Oh, I love this.
Oh.
Ready?
So we're going
to all... So, Kevin, on three, you say who you want to win this. out of the goodness of your heart.
Who I want to, or who I think is going to?
Who you to. Want
who
to?
Who you want?
Who okay. you will vote for?
Totally. Yeah.
And then we're gonna try and guess. The nominees are Amelie, Anastasia, Bandstand, Come From Away, Dear Evan Hansen, Natasha Pierre, and The Great Comet of 1812. Ready?
Yep.
One, two, three.
Come from away. Yes. It was just so good.
But also, Process of Elimination, you've only seen two of those.
Truth.
That's fair.
That's true.
Doing the math. I think I'd agree with you. Oh, no. This is the Tony dilemma.
But this, again, is that the goodness of your own heart.
No, I would probably... It would be between Come From Away and Dear Evan Hansen, but I really loved Dear Evan Hansen. I really, really did. I think I would go with Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah. I also have only seen two, so I would vote for Come From Away.
Cool.
All right, favorite musical revival.
I'll read it to you,
Kimberly. My heart. Yeah, yeah.
Revival. Cats. Falsettos. Hello, Dolly. Miss Saigon, Sunday in the Park with George, Sunset Boulevard.
With my heart?
This is hard because you have so much heart in this.
So much heart. Two right. very different parts of my heart.
I know. One, two, three.
Falsettos.
Sunday in the Park with George. And you didn't even see it, but I just know you love it so much.
I do love it, but I honor their wishes, and they took themselves out of award eligibility for the Tonys. So.
I think that's beautiful.
I love them.
So your heart cares about their heart.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's sweet.
Also, my heart loved falsettos.
Your heart will go on.
Okay.
Favorite long-running show.
Ooh.
Is this me?
Yes. The Book of Mormon, Hamilton, Kinky Boots, The Lion King, Waitress, Wicked.
I know that Hamilton has been running for a while, but like, can we call that a long-running show?
No,
I want you to know that I was not going to vote for before we guess mine. You could automatically take Hamilton out of the running.
Because it's only been a year.
I don't think that's okay.
That's not a long-running show.
Yeah. Well, it's been two.
They can know right. that it's...
Almost two. Yeah.
They can know that
one
going
Waitress
to run.
Waitress is not long-running either.
Yeah, yeah. So let's do this. One, two, three.
The Book Wicked. Of Mormon.
For sure, Book of Mormon.
I win.
I don't know. I knew your sister loved Wicked, I guess.
She does. And I love Wicked too, but I just love Book of Mormon.
Oh, this is so interesting. Favorite tour. Oh, and I get this. Okay. You read it.
Sure. Book of Mormon, Finding Neverland, Fun Home. Rent, Something Rotten, Wicked.
This is so tricky. I haven't seen any of these tours, but my mother has seen that some, right. and I've seen all of these shows.
Let's do this. One, two, three.
Fun Home.
Mostly because we talk about it in a future episode that you won't get. So
with our mothers.
For next week. Yeah, stay tuned for next week.
Happy Mother's Day. Okay, Kevin.
Okay, Kev.
Favorite leading actor in a musical.
Ooh, goodness.
Musical. Okay. Christian Borle, Falsettos, Corey Cott, Bandstand. Josh Groban, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, Jake Gyllenhaal, Sunday in the Park with George, Andy Carl, Groundhog Day, Ben Platt, Dear Evan Hansen.
One,
ready, Kevin? One.
Two, three.
Corey Cott. Yay!
Yeah, that would be my vote, too.
Because he deserves a heart
love.
Hug.
He deserves some love.
Yeah.
What would you give him?
I would give him a hug and then, like, a towel because he's working his ass off and
he
got really
that
sweaty.
That is true. Mm-hmm. I'd give him some really cute baby toys for his new child.
Totally.
And a little Tony trophy rattle.
Oh, that would be cute, too.
It would be cute.
I'm up.
Lead actress in a musical. Christy Altmar, Anastasia, Annalie Ashford, Sunday in the Park with George, Danae Benton, Natasha Pierre, Bette Midler, Hello, Dolly, Laura Osnes, Bandstand, Philippa Sue, Amelie.
One, two, three.
Ben Midler?
Benton.
We all said someone different.
Wow.
Because I love Laura.
We'll see.
I love Laura so much. But for some reason, like, of the things I remember from Comet, and I saw it a bit ago, I thought she was lovely.
Oh.
Totally.
I love her in Unreal.
Yes.
She's so good. All right. Featured actor in a musical. For me, Gavin Creel, Hello Dolly, Mike Feist, Dear Evan Hansen, Ramin Karimloo, Anastasia, Derek Klena, Anastasia, Andrew Rannells, Falsetto, Will Roland,
Ooh.
Dear Evan Hansen. This is tricky. We got very drunk with two of these people, and I feel obligated to choose them.
Yeah, right.
But they're both there, so maybe I say no one.
One, two, three.
Andrew Rannells, Falsettos.
Oh. Yeah. Because we got drunk with them, so that canceled each other out.
Exactly.
And I know how much you loved him in that show.
He just, like, really surprised me, and you sat next to me while I was convulsing of tears.
I did. I watched.
Okay.
Through my tears.
Featured actress in a musical. Britton Ashford. Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet, Stephanie J. Block, Falsettos, Jen Colella, Come From Away, Laura Dreyfus, Dear Evan Hansen, Laura Bay Jones, Dear Evan Hansen, Jennifer Laura Thompson, Dear Evan Hansen, woo.
1, 2, 3.
Jen Colella.
Come From
because
Away.
Because that's the only one you saw.
And she's wonderful.
She is.
Just her in the sky.
Oh, she's so good.
I would say Stephanie J. Block.
I think she'll get it. I love her.
Oh, but that... She belted, full belted with a banana in her mouth, like on the ground.
I know. It was the best
in front
I've
of
ever
us.
Seen. Favorite funny performance? What fun categories?
I know, I love that.
Kevin on Broadwasted.
I know, right? Come on.
Okay,
now.
This time let's just go with all of our hearts.
Okay, yeah.
Ready? So it's Stephanie J. Block from Falsettos, John Bolton from Anastasia, Christian Borle from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Angie Carl from Groundhog Day, but Midler, Hello Dolly, Will Roland, Dear Evan Hansen.
1, 2, 3.
Will
Stephanie
Roland,
J.
Dear Evan Hansen. Give that boy some love.
I think his performance was super. It was
I haven't
funny.
Seen it yet.
Oh, right.
Also, we literally just talked about the banana, so I thought we were all going to say Stephanie
true,
J.
True,
Block.
True. All right. Favorite diva performance?
Okay.
Stephanie J. Block, Falsettos, Christian Chenoweth,
oh,
My Love Letter to Broadway. Yeah, Glenn Close, Sunset Boulevard, Patti LuPone, War Paint, Bette Midler, Hello Dolly, Laura Osnes, Bandstand.
1, 2, 3.
Glenn
Kristen
Close.
Chenoweth? I know, she's so cute.
Glenn Close was great in the revival. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and that show didn't get a lot
oh,
of love.
Oh, that's true.
So I'm gonna throw her some love.
I say Bette Midler.
Oh, this is cute. Favorite onstage pair? Christy Altomare and Derek Klena, Annalee Ashford and Jake Gyllenhaal, Danae Benton and Lucas Steele, Laura Dreyfus and Ben Platt, Christian Borle and Andrew Rannells, Corey Cutt and Laura Osnes. Ready? One.
1, 2, 3.
Corey Cutt and Laura Osnes.
Just,
they were so cute.
They were so delightful.
Bandstand.
Yeah, they were delightful.
Okay, Kevin, you read the next one.
Favorite breakthrough performance by a male? We have John Briones from Saigon, Mike Feist from Dear Evan Hansen, Jake Ryan Flynn, Ryan Faust, and Ryan Self for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
The Charlies.
Oh, okay.
Will Roland for Dear Evan Hansen, Anthony Rosenthal for Falsettos, and Lucas Steele for Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812.
Okay, right. Ready?
1, 2, 3.
Anthony Rosenthal!
Oh,
I didn't even see
the
show, but I just loved him
bubble.
In our Broadway
honestly,
booth at Broadway Con.
The way he horribly held a bat is everything.
Jewish boys who can't
favorite break. Favorite breakthrough performance female. Britton Ashford, Natasha Pierre, Danae Benton, Natasha Pierre, Savvy Crawford, Amelie, Laura Dreyfus, Dear Evan Hansen, Crystalline Lloyd, Dear Evan Hansen, Eva Noblezada, Miss Saigon.
I've seen none of these.
I've seen two of them.
Ready?
Oh no, four of them. 1, 2, 3.
Eva Noblezada.
Yeah,
No one else had to vote.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking Danae Benton because I voted for her for the other one, but.
I haven't seen any of them, but I've seen clips of Eva from the London production, and she's magic.
Agreed.
Okay. Oh, replacements. Will Chase, Something Rotten, Brandon Victor Dixon, Hamilton, Jordan Fisher, Hamilton, Todrick Hall, Kinky Boots, Brian Darcy James, Hamilton, Javier Munoz, Hamilton. Oh my goodness.
I saw almost all of them.
1, 2, 3.
Brian Darcy
Chase,
James,
Something
Hamilton.
Rotten.
Wait, who did you say from Hamilton?
I said Javier.
I say Brian Darcy James because he originated the role of the public.
True,
so
true.
It's like a homecoming.
I said Will Chase because all the Hamiltons cancel each other out in my brain.
That's fair, and because you love Luke Wheeler from TV's
from
Nashville. Okay, favorite female replacement. Sarah Bareilles, Waitress. Alicia Desire. Mandy Gonzalez, Hamilton. Heather Headley, Color Purple. Lexi Lawson, Hamilton. Jenna Ushkowitz, Waitress. 1, 2, 3.
Heather Headley.
Color
Purple. She was so good.
Wait, that was last year.
Oh,
that's weird.
Wow. So the next category is favorite new song, and we have Charming from Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
And then the entire cast album of
Dear
Evan
Hansen.
Ready?
1, 2, 3.
You Four
will be
Forever.
Found. Oh,
wow.
Oh.
I picked Only Us because it's the one song I truly can't get out of my head.
Oh, and Four Forever is the one I can't get out of my head.
Oh.
Actually, that's not true. Sincerely Me is the one I can't get out of
I
my head, but it's
you
not
will
nominated.
Be found because of the message.
That was fun.
Chosen.
Yeah.
So everybody.
I like those fun categories.
So we just had fun talking about it. You all can actually go on and vote. We're going to vote as well, but you can definitely go on and vote before.
Yeah, we should probably actually vote.
The
17th. We said it out loud, but it doesn't count until you click.
So you can vote on Broadway.com through May 17th. So you should definitely do that. Thanks for joining us for another round. And
tell us who you vote for.
Yeah, why not?
Tweet us.
If you agree, if you disagree, if you hate us, if you love us.
No, not
only
if you
hate
us,
love
yeah.
us. Yeah.
so let's raise our glass.
To freedom?
No, just me. Just me.
Oh, okay. I thought we were getting a quote. I forget there's never a quote on another run. Zoo-doo-wop. Bob.
Cheers.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.